If you think Obama was an organizer, you can imagine that a labor leader like Oshiomhole was definitely an organizer. And so he had quite a movement behind him.
Well, but government officials in Benin City had expected a possible mass outbreak of disturbances following Tuesday's verdict announcement. But instead, Benin City broke out into a festive mood. Why the happy show of support after the verdict?
Probably would have been violence if the victory didn't go in favor of Oshiomhole. So there were legitimate concerns, but the victory parades and everything is because he was really the popular candidate in the elections. Now, Benin is a very interesting city because that's the home of one of the longest monarchies in Africa. You know, the famous Benin Bronze Empire is there. So the people tend to be very, very involved in their own politics because they successfully defended their kingdom against the British. So for them, this was a huge victory that the modern post-colonial democratic establishment did not foist upon them an unpopular candidate.
Is this the first successful Action Congress Party challenge of Nigeria's ruling PDP and its hold on a high governmental post?
Yes, this is definitely the first case where an opposition party successfully unseated the incumbent ruling party candidate and replaced them. Now, this is different from the other situations we've had in Nigeria where they had reruns and the ruling party won reruns. This is a case where the court decided that the party that actually won was the opposition, kicked out the ruling party, and installed the opposition.
Well, Adams Oshiomhole becomes the third governor recently to secure his mandate through the judicial process. How useful is Nigeria's judiciary process as a court of last resort for overturning elections? And what does this decision mean for the democratic process in Nigeria?
The judiciary clearly is a very unique institution. It's not as political as the executive and the legislative. And this verdict clearly gives hope to the masses that they can win justice, even if they don't win it at the polls, they can get it at the courts. Now, it's important to note that this is the first verdict by the Court of Appeal that replaced a sitting governor with another. The other two verdicts of governors you mentioned were verdicts of the Supreme Court that were not direct election appeals. So this is very historic in that respect.
Well, is it possible for Osunbor or even President Yar'Adua to overturn this week's decision and regain the governorship of Edo State?
No, there's absolutely nothing that they can do. It's the end of the road for them. And that's why in Nigeria, this is really a mini Obama event for many, many Nigerians. Even across both party lines, one of those events where people were honking the horns of their cars and dancing on the roofs because it's historic.
Well, do you think this reaction to the decision is characteristic of the usual brawling and contentious atmosphere of Nigerian politics?
Ironically, no. I think that for the first time, you know, the ruling party borrowed a leaf from the recent U.S. elections because the former governor Osunbor was very gracious in conceding, even though he didn't have much of a choice. And I think it's because of the tone that was set when McCain conceded the elections to Obama within hours of the results emerging. Nigerians have been following the U.S. elections closely, and I think that they feel that there needs to be a change in the tone of politics.
Well, let me ask you, how unusual is it for a politician of Professor Osunbor's stature to proclaim that Tuesday's decision should be observed as an expression of the rule of law in Nigeria?
Yeah, it's rare. It doesn't happen very much. To give you an illustration, there are several of the states where the opposition successfully challenged the results, the courts nullified the elections, and they had reruns. Guess what? They're back in court again. So we have a vicious circle of political litigations that are never ending. So in this particular case, they didn't have much of a choice. It's a final verdict. It's not a rerun. So they can't go anywhere from there. But again, the fact that he didn't poison the well before he left was very unusual. The fact that he said, yes, we're leaving. And, you know, it's the will of the people that has triumphed.
Now, I understand that the vice president of Nigeria's Labor Congress has called for the arrest of former Independent National Election Commission Chairman Maurice Iwu for allegedly rigging last year's election. What do you think is the likelihood of this happening at this point?
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation because under our law, it's the National Assembly that has the powers to have him removed. And no one has the political political will to do that, because they are all beneficiaries of the inefficiency and the corruption that occurred during the elections. So arresting him would be biting the fingers that fed you. So we have to find a mechanism that is not in the hands of politicians to determine the fortunes of the electoral commissioner.
Emmanuel, are there any other contested governors' contests still pending in Nigerian courts?
Yes, there are several. And one which, again, needs to be closely watched would be the election case in Ondo State. Again, that is a very well-documented case. And it's very likely that it may have a similar verdict to the one we just saw in Edo State. But just to show you the importance of Edo going to the opposition, this is the state where the former First Lady of Nigeria came from. Obasanjo's wife was from Edo State. So it's significant that it's going to the opposition at this time.
Now, there are reports that Nigerians everywhere were watching court proceedings at home on their televisions. How widely do you think this case was being followed across the country, and what will be its impact?
Yes, for the first time in Nigeria's history, the courts have opened up their courtrooms to the media, to cameras, because they believe it's important for the democracy, for people to follow the legal arguments. So a lot of people were watching it. It was a nationwide telecast, almost like the Obama elections here.
Or even the Watergate hearings.
Or even the Watergate hearings, precisely. But in addition, Oshomole was the national leader of the labor movement. He had fought in the trenches across the country, so he was a national figure. And that's why it was followed so closely. Remember, he had won at the tribunal before, and it went on appeal. So everyone was keen to see whether, you know, he would succeed at the final appeal or not.
How serious was the evidence of voting irregularities in the tabulation of the 2007 vote?
The evidence was staggering. What is happening is that in this digital age, we are seeing people with camcorders, with cell phone cameras, you know, going to polling booths and taking photographs, and, you know, we're having forensic experts. So it's becoming a high-tech monitoring process now. And in this particular case, a video footage was shown where an electoral officer declared two election, local government elections cancelled. Meanwhile, those election results were included to give the victory. So when he showed the video in court, you know, the court was able to say, well, this was cancelled, so they don't count. So it was a very powerful tool. It was a Perry Mason moment, so to speak, a courtroom drama that resulted in